Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come, Joel. Seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
In our 670 The Score studios, Jordan Malley.
Shout out to Jordan Malley.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No.
No.
I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, you're going to make it happen.
And Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls, 5 days a week.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago, following all 82 Bulls games this season. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. You can follow my co-host Jordan Malley at Jordan C. Malley. And you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. And shoot us an email, LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. That text and voicemail line is also always there for you, our fellow Bulls fans, at 331-979-1369. Well, the Bulls get a win, their 10th home win of the season, which is already one more win than they got on the United Center floor in all of their previous season by beating the Minnesota Timberwolves 117-110. They had 20-point games from Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen, one of a few times that they have actually gotten 20-plus points from these two players on the same night this season, and it leads to a Bulls win. Probably could have and should have been a blowout win for the Bulls, but some poor execution in the second half and a big night from Karl-Anthony Towns and a big fourth quarter from Andrew Wiggins made this one a little bit more of a nail-biter than perhaps it needed to be. I'll give you some of my thoughts on biggest takeaways from this night's game, including some of the performances, the Bulls rotation, and of course, some epic Jim Boylanisms. Hashtag Jim Boylan says stuff. Also, hashtag Jim Boylan does stuff. Another timeout gate that we have to talk about. First things first, the biggest takeaway to me is that the Bulls finally had a night where Lauri Markkanen was the Robin to Zach LaVine's Batman. And I know that we talk all the time about whether or not Zach LaVine is actually good enough to be the Batman of a good NBA team, and that right now, personally, I don't think so. I think he's close, but I think he's best suited to be a complimentary borderline all-star player on a really good team. But based on what the Bulls are working with right now and whether or not this rebuild takes off, assuming that they do not trade either of these guys, they need to have more nights where Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen do this kind of stuff. Both have 20-plus point nights. Both play the normal allotment of minutes that starters should play, a la Markkanen playing 34 minutes and not fewer minutes than Luke Kornet, who, of course, we will have to get to in just a few moments. But LaVine, 25 points on 8 of 18 from the field, 3 of 6 from behind the three-point line, 6 of 8 at the free throw line. Lauri Markkanen, 21 points on 6 of 14, 4 of 10 from behind the arc, 5 of 6 from the free throw line, pulled down 6 rebounds. Markkanen had a decent night. It could have been even better, and honestly, he had a couple of open looks that went halfway down and rimmed out. So it could have been an even bigger night for Markkanen, but it's just one small step in the right direction. And unfortunately, because of what we've seen this season, the natural expectation as we get ready for the Bulls back-to-back Friday and Saturday is that Markkanen will follow this up with two more dud performances. Because for every one respectable game he has, and again, it's not like 21 points and 6 rebounds is all that special, based on what our expectations for Markkanen were entering this season, even still, compared to the entire sample size of this season, 21-6 is a good game from Lowry. And that's scary, but it's the scary reality. And then, even after a game like that, we see Markkanen have a night where maybe he gets off to a decent start, scores 10 or 12 points in the first half, but then ghosts in the second half and is just completely disengaged from what the Bulls are doing. I think it's interesting that Lowry has spoken a bit more candidly in recent post-game interviews about his usage. When he did play the entire fourth quarter in a recent game, he kind of tongue-in-cheek said that he did not have a problem with that. But, I mean, you know, this is a guy whose usage percentage is down compared to his rookie year. Not just last year, his rookie year. Scoring down from his rookie year, barely playing more minutes than he did his rookie year, and fighting to make himself useful as nothing more than a spot-up shooter in this Jim Boylan offense that has, from start through the present, had the Bulls ranked in the bottom five of the NBA in offensive rating. More than half of marketing and shot attempts are coming from behind the three-point line, and last night was no exception to that. He took 14 shots, 10 of them were behind the three-point line. We did see a couple of instances where Markkanen scored inside, including one possession early in the game where he took advantage of a mismatch, had a guard on him, backed him down, and got himself an easy two. But it's the fact that that was even noticeable as, hey, look what Lowry did just now, because we have barely seen it at all this season, is a pretty glaring and worrisome fact. And it's, again, not like Markkanen is a traditional post-up player in the traditional sense of what the old NBA was. Say, like a player like Thad Young. He's never really had much of a post-up game, but we have also seen that in his rookie season and his second season, he can be more than a spot-up shooter. He can play in pick and roll as the ball carrier and as the roll guy, or the pop guy in a pick and pop. We have barely seen Zach and Lowry play two-man game stuff this season compared to what I would have hoped that we see. They're your two best players, run sets where they get looks for each other. We barely see that. So, yeah, it's nice that Markkanen had a 21-point game. But again, he has to be more than a spot-up shooter, and some of that's on him. He has to be more aggressive than he has shown. But it's pretty clear, and he has essentially even admitted it himself now, that this he's just doing what is asked of him in this offense. And so many times he gets relegated to being a guy standing in the corner. And you even see it, and you saw it last night. Cristiano Felicio, who is just a punchline in the NBA, played 22 minutes and was getting more pick and roll action as a roll man than Lowry freaking Markkanen. What is okay about that? I seriously watched as Markkanen stood in the corner and Felicio ran a set of pick and roll. Well, we all know how much the Bulls love Felicio's ability to roll to the rim with force. But I mean, come on. What about that makes any sense? So, sort of a grain of salt kind of night. Markkanen scored 21 points, but still, 10 of his 14 shots behind the three-point line. Not great. The Bulls should have put away this terrible team, and were on their way to doing so. I think their largest lead of the night was 19 points, but some sloppy execution, some bad defense. I mean, they could not stop Towns all night. He had 40. He probably could have had 50. Towns only played 31 minutes in this game. 4 of 8 from behind the three-point line, even more impressive. 12 of 16 from inside the three-point arc. Dude got everything he was looking for. Could not be stopped. This is a bad Minnesota team. Make no mistake about it. Bad. Worse than the Bulls. So, cool. You got another win against a subpar opponent. A sub-500 opponent. Bulls still only have one win in, I think, 19 tries against 500 teams in the NBA. So, forgive me for not jumping for joy for getting a win over Minnesota. a team that I think was riding like a long road trip and a five-game losing streak into that game last night. The Bulls will have a similar opponent on Friday night when they take on the Sacramento Kings. Another team finishing a long road trip. Another team on a long losing streak. So, you know, hey, at least the Bulls are really good at beating up on the bad teams in the NBA. I guess you have to start somewhere. I did like what I saw from Coby White last night. 12 points in 25 minutes, which is, you know, not one of Coby's more dominant scoring nights. But I liked a lot of the little things that Coby was doing. And, man, can you just love watching this kid with his speed going coast to coast. I still would like to see the Bulls make use of the remaining part of this season by trying to run Coby in some actual point guard sets a little bit more offensively. And I know that so many of his gifts are about just using his raw talent and ability and speed to break guys down off the dribble. And we saw him do that many times last night. 5 field goals, and many of them were impressive drives where he beat his man off the dribble and got a look inside. You love to see that stuff. But if he's a kid who needs to be developed and the Bulls maybe are hoping he could be a point guard or starting backcourt guy of the future, try to expand his game a little bit. But I certainly liked what I saw from him last night. And Chandler Hutchison, 21 minutes, 9 points, 6 rebounds, an assist, and 3 steals. Not a bad night. Hutch, you know, it's sort of in not the same way, but in a similar way with Lowry, it's sort of like one step forward, two steps back. And with Hutch, it's been re-aggravating injuries and just kind of being a wash out there when he is in the rotation. He certainly has some skills. He doesn't have a whole lot of room to develop to reach whatever his ceiling is, considering he's a 4-year college player who's going to turn 24 years old by the end of this season. But for a team so desperately lacking in wing depth without Otto and with the fact that they didn't address that position in the offseason, you think maybe see if you can figure out if Hutch is good, like actually usable good. Because he has the length, he has the defensive versatility, the rebounding ability. He's pretty strong dribbling and executing in transition, which is supposed to be a big part of this Bulls offense. And he finishes at the rim surprisingly well. He can finish through contact. We've seen that in this recent stretch of games since he came back. But can he stay healthy? And for the love of God, can somebody teach him how to knock down a 3-point shot without taking an hour and a half to get it up? So a couple of nice bright spots from the Bulls bench and 20-point nights from Zach and Lowry, and the Bulls beat a bad team. There you have it. Before we get to the latest installments of Jim Boylan being always entertaining and always maddening, a word from our friends at Indeed. When you start your hiring process, you may have some questions. Will you find good applicants to choose from? What about education and experience? And how will you know you've made the right hire? Indeed is here to help. Millions of great candidates use Indeed every day to find their next opportunity. You can post a job in just minutes and use screener questions to help create your shortlist of applicants fast. Also, add skills tests to your job post so you can be confident in your applicants' abilities. Their library of more than 50 skills tests ranges from industry-specific skills like accounting to general aptitude tests like critical thinking. Indeed gives you the smart tools to make hiring decisions quickly and to be confident that you're making the right hire for your team. Post your job today at Indeed.com/LockedOn and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting. That's Indeed.com/LockedOn. Terms and conditions and exclusions apply. Offer valid through March 31st, 2020. So, we got some great gold from the mind of Jim Boylan says and does stuff in this game against the Timberwolves on Wednesday night. Almost so much so that it became bigger than the game itself. As I said, the Bulls beat a bad team. Zach LaVine did what he usually does. Lauri Markkanen, a surprisingly not terrible game. Some nice games off the bench from some of their other young pieces like Coby and Hutch. Cool. The moment that defined this game. Well, there were two. The first one came when our sideline reporter for NBC Sports Chicago, Leila Rahimi, was discussing a recent soundbite from Jim Boylan at their practice on Tuesday this week when talking about what he likes about Luke Kornet, the Bulls' backup center, and compared Luke Kornet and his set of skills to one Robert Horry, a.k.a. Big Shot Bob, a.k.a. seven-time NBA champion with multiple different successful organizations over his storied NBA career. And it was about, the comparison was about being a guy who can knock down shots and also defend the rim, block shots. Vague comparison. I mean, thin at best. And, you know, to her credit, Leila delivered this comparison and this sideline hit with a straight face. And the reaction from our beloved Stacey King, Bulls color commentary and analyst for TV broadcasts, was priceless. Priceless. In all of the Stacey-isms that we have enjoyed over the years of him sitting courtside calling Bulls games, give me the hot sauce. I want to go higher. Do you know how to post videos to Facebook? Simply, Stacey King responded to this Luke Kornet, Robert Horry comparison from Bulls head coach Jim Boylan with, "What?" Followed by some serious chuckling and laughter. That is the perfect way to describe how most Bulls fans feel about this Jim Boylan experience. What? It was a silly example of Jim Boylan says stuff and Bulls fans everywhere say, "Is this dude for real? What are you doing? What the hell are you talking about?" It's like, Jim Carrey in The Truman Show. What the hell are you talking about? Who are you talking to? It was Stacey giving an immediate gut response. First reaction, no filter, didn't sugarcoat it. That was his honest reaction to something the Bulls head coach said that was utterly ridiculous. And we all were Stacey in that moment. It was so beautiful. It was so comforting. It was so soothing. It was so relieving and therapeutic to hear this dude who is sitting there courtside watching this team every night and for the most part has to be at least in many ways and in many efforts nice to this team that is trying and struggling. Because guess what? The Bulls are not a big fan of people poo-pooing the product that they put forth. This organization, and it's no surprise to anybody who listens to this podcast and follows this team regularly, has some of the thinnest skin of people who run professional organizations. It's why you hear John Paxson go on a radio interview and accuse radio hosts of interrogating him when all they're doing is asking legitimate questions that the fan base wants legitimate answers to. It's why they revoke press credentials for certain people who are harder on them when they bring hard truths to light. These are all facts. These are all facts. And it's why I can't say certain things on Bulls Outsiders that I can say here on this Bulls podcast. That's the reality. And I'm sure if you listen to this podcast and watch Bulls Outsiders, you've picked up on that over the past year and a half. I come on Locked On Bulls and I can say things about this organization that I cannot say there. And I get that. It's part of the job. Jerry Reinsdorf owns a significant portion of this regional sports network that his teams games are broadcast on. And Stacey King is an employee of the team as much so, if not more so, that he is an employee of NBC Sports Chicago. So to hear him give that reaction, which, by the way, I'm sure Stacy will get a phone call about. I'm sure he will get a phone call about that reaction from the Chicago Bulls, who were not thrilled with the way he reacted to that because, oh no, it made Jim Boylan look bad. You know who else makes Jim Boylan look bad? Jim Boylan! You know who says things that are far more harsh? Who does things that are far more guilty than any Bulls fan or any member of Bulls media or any member of the Bulls broadcast team has ever said or done to make Jim Boylan look foolish? Jim Boylan himself. Which is why, and if you haven't already, I would recommend go checking out the column that Dan Bernstein wrote for 670thescore.com earlier today. I quote tweeted it. The link is there. You can find it on my Twitter. He wrote about how Bulls fans all were Stacey King in that moment. And that will go down as one of the defining moments of the Jim Boylan era, because it so perfectly encapsulated what all of us have been feeling when we are force-fed these nonsensical sound bites from a coach who appears to be in way over his head, doesn't have a clue what he's doing, and does not have respect of anybody in his locker room. It was perfect. It was a perfect moment that let Bulls fans everywhere know, hey, guess what? You're not alone. And you're not crazy. No. We, Bulls fans, who are watching these games, who are listening to Jim Boylan's post-game press conferences, we are not crazy. No. We are the sane ones who listen to this shit that is shoveled in our direction and say, do they think we're dumb? Do they expect us to believe any of this shit? Growth plate. We've established a style on both ends. Dude, the Eastern Conference is a joke, and you're 10-plus games under 500 through what was supposed to be the soft part of your schedule. Oh, but hey, don't look now. The Bulls are only 3 games back of the 8th seed in the East. Man, shut the fuck up. That was the story of the game last night. Not the Bulls beating a bad Minnesota Timberwolves team. Stacey King, 3-time NBA champ, has been in and around this organization a long time, has seen a lot of basketball. That reaction was priceless because it let Bulls fans everywhere know, hey, you're not alone and you're not crazy. This dude over here in this team's head coaching chair, he's the crazy one. Dude's crazy. And if that weren't enough, ooh, we had more Jim Boylan deliciousness before this game could end. Today's episode of Locked On Bulls is also brought to you by Calm. We talk about physical fitness a lot, but there's another side to the game that's just as important. I'm talking about mental fitness. Calm, the number one app for sleep and meditation, has teamed up with LeBron James to help you train your mind. LeBron and Calm know that your mind is like any other muscle in your body, and Calm can help you train your brain so you sleep better, have less stress, and perform at your best. For LeBron James, sleep is an important part of his mental fitness routine. He says, getting good sleep and finding time to rest is one of the most valuable things I can do for my body and my mind. And if you head to calm.com/lockedonNBA, you'll get 40% off a Calm premium membership. With Calm, you have access to the nature scenes LeBron loves, like rain on leaves, and so much more, like sleep stories and meditations. For a limited time, our Locked On Bulls listeners can join LeBron in using Calm with a 40% discount to an annual membership at calm.com/lockedonNBA. Unlock content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. Get started at calm.com/lockedonNBA. That's calm.com/lockedonNBA. So, as we continue down the Jim Boylan circus, another episode of Timeouts, the great Jim Boylan nemesis. I mean, Where are we? What world are we living in? What planet are we on? What dimension are we in? Where it seems like at least once a week I come on this podcast and talk about how the Bulls head coach has an issue with managing timeouts. Doesn't have them when he needs them. Of course, you know, there were the recent episodes where he didn't call a timeout when Gafford was riding around the court in pain. And, you know, I don't know, Jeff Tanaka was off somewhere buying himself another sweater. And the Bulls were, the medical staff was ignoring the fact that they had a player down, forced Rick Carlisle, this was during the Mavs game, to call a timeout for him to address the fact that he had a player writhing around in pain on the ground. And that was coming on the heels of a game where Jim Boylan called a timeout when Lauri Markkanen fell and sprained his ankle, and Boylan was forced to use his final timeout with more than 4 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter. And Boylan, when pressed about it after the game, got defensive, saying, "Well, I had to take a timeout. I had an injured player on the court. So if that hadn't happened, if Lowry hadn't gotten hurt, I would have had a timeout left for that late game scenario where I didn't have one." Well, yeah, guess what, dipshit? It shouldn't have been your last timeout, because you used your second to last timeout at the 9:45 mark of the fourth quarter. So you got back-to-back games where this coach, who is so afraid of this criticism as his team is failing, and perhaps enduring one of the more underachieving seasons of any team in the NBA this season, I don't want to take flack from the media about my timeouts. So I didn't have enough last night, so I'll make sure I have enough this night by not calling a timeout when my player's hurt. And those were just two recent examples. We've seen Jim Boylan's inability to manage his timeouts successfully and to make good use of his timeouts all the time since he took over as a head coach. He's taken timeouts with like under 30 seconds left before the end of quarters. And when I say that, I mean like before the end of the first quarter, before the end of the third quarter, when you're about to get a quarter break to talk to your team and give them instructions. You really need to take a timeout right then and there? And then we get to Wednesday night. The latest installment of Jim Boylan pisses off the head coach he's playing against. How many times have we seen that since he took over in December of last year? In December of last season, rather. Ryan Saunders, son of, rest in peace, Flip Saunders, Minnesota Timberwolves legend, was sitting there dumbstruck as the game has been decided. Karl Anthony Towns just breezes through and dunks in a meaningless 2 points to trim the deficit from 9-7 with 5.4 seconds left in the fourth quarter. 7-point game with 5.4 seconds left. There was an initial theory by Bulls insider Casey Johnson that maybe it was Boylan being ticked off that the Bulls just let Towns coast through and dunk that ball that was the cause for the timeout, which, good God, if that were the case, then, I mean, Boylan, how dumb are you? The Bulls did the proper thing by just giving him two meaningless points and not unnecessarily fouling him. The 2 points, the dunk, they didn't matter. The Bulls had the game in hand. After the game, being asked about it, because of course everyone sat there and said, "Why the hell did Jim call that timeout?" He said it's because it looked like the Timberwolves were pressing and he was concerned about the Bulls getting the ball inbounds. So he took a timeout so he could advance the ball. Well, guess what? When you did that in a recent game, when you didn't need to take a timeout and you did, and then you advanced the ball, but you had Cornette inbounding it from sideline and he throws it away and it leads to a turnover, the Bulls almost cough up a game against the Cavs. It's like there are episodes of Jim Boylan's timeout ineptitude everywhere you look, almost every night. And so on the heels of that inexplicable timeout against Cleveland, you got this. Jim Boylan, they looked like they were pressing. I wanted to make sure we could get the ball inbound. Dude, even if from the baseline your team turns the ball over, Minnesota retreats to behind the three-point line, knocks down a three, that takes probably at least a couple seconds off the clock, and you're still up by four. Waited, man. What are you doing? all he's doing is pissing off another head coach. We have seen Jim Boylan do this and aggravate countless coaches who are like, dude, the game's over, okay? There is a mutual understanding that the game has been decided. Kill the clock. Let's go home. But no. Jim Boylan just had to take a timeout. This is why the Bulls are a laughingstock. This man is why, until he is gone, no NBA player in their right mind would ever want to come play here. He makes a mockery of the game. He makes a mockery of the level of professionalism and respect that players who have made it all the way to the NBA deserve. And he disrespects his colleagues by pulling this Bush League bullshit. Ryan Saunders has been a head coach in the NBA for all of, what, like a season and a fraction of a season? And he knows. What, he's probably, what, some 15, 20 years Jim Boylan's junior? He knows that what Jim Boylan pulled on Wednesday night was a joke. What are you doing, man? Game's over. Let's go home. Why are you calling a timeout? I mean, it would be hilarious if it weren't so goddamn embarrassing. And this, again, whether it's this, whether it's the Jim Boylan Says Stuff episode of comparing Luke Kornet to Robert Horry, has Stacey King rolling over, fits of laughter on the broadcast. Like, I don't care that the Bulls beat the Timberwolves. I don't care what the box score said about Zach LaVine's game or Lauri Markkanen's game. This franchise is going nowhere. No freaking where. Until they clean up this Bush League bullshit and stop being the laughingstock of the NBA. This once proud franchise. There is no pride in anything that is going on right now. Save for some impressive individual performances, namely Zach LaVine. But this organization and this dude that they have tabbed to run it and double down on, God forbid they double down again when this season mercifully ends. You could talk about trades. Is Zach and Lowry a good enough core? Should you trade Wendell? Should you start Kobe? All of the stuff about the players and X's and O's, it doesn't mean shit until you fix the bigger problems. And the Bulls' perception around the league, that's a big fucking problem. And it has nothing to do with players underperforming. I look forward to the day when I can come on this podcast and talk more about basketball. Actual, honest-to-God basketball. But you talk about the stuff that's right there in your face and needs to be addressed. And last night, two different episodes in the span of one basketball game just highlighted how much of a joke this team's coach is. And, by proxy, how much of a joke this organization is for backing him. And stubbornly refusing to fire him when they should have admitted a long time ago that they messed up by hiring him. And until all of those big picture things change, Lauri Markkanen scoring 21 points means nothing. Zach LaVine, 25 points, means nothing. Oh, I don't know. I don't know if we're, you know, building the right core of players right now. Doesn't mean anything. Again, as I said, I look forward to the day when I can come on this podcast and talk about basketball. And only basketball. Would be nice. Dare to dream, I suppose. That's it for today. Thanks for listening. Appreciate all of you out there giving me this platform to vent. And hopefully it is therapeutic for you as it is for me. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode to steer you into your weekends. Hopefully we can get Jordan on board. In the meantime, hit us up on Twitter. I'm at Bulls_Peck. He's at Jordan C. Malley. We are at Locked On Bulls. And don't forget to hit up that text to voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Appreciate you, Bulls Nation. Love y'all. And enjoy this set of back-to-back games we have on deck this weekend, Friday, Saturday. Ain't a weekend without two Bulls games, baby. We'll talk tomorrow. Peace out.
Believe it or not, Jim Boylan said that he reminds him of Robert Horry. That was something that Boylan brought up yesterday at practice, Neil and Stacy. Of course, Boylan spent time as an assistant with the Rockets. And he said Horry was one of the first guys who could rim protect at a high level and make threes. We all know Robert Horry could shoot a three. Luke Kornet with one made three tonight, but that's the idea. He said Luke Kornet has rim protection, blocked shots, and he liked how he guarded Giannis Antetokounmpo in the first half against the Bucks, gentlemen.
What?
Or not.
Stacey King.
Oh, my goodness. Robert Horry?
Robert Horry was a great two-way player. Won rings, too. Oh, my goodness.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com